IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beta, and today again I have the honor to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And with me there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you here with me. In this episode, we're going to talk about pluralism, which before going through this concept, I'm going to recite you one of the verses of Holy Quran. Surely, the true religion with Allah is Islam. And those to whom the book had been given didn't show opposition, but after knowledge had come to them out of envy among themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the communication of Allah, then surely Allah is quick in reckoning. So I wanted to start our episode with this beautiful answer to the school of thought of pluralism. And then we're going to dig more into these concepts. So, you know, the point is, all the things that you mentioned are true. And this time-consuming, actually, process that we have to go through in order to gain this belief in religion is a bit kind of something like extra for my generation, because it feels like we don't need it. I mean, the need of religion is being lost here. Why and how should we change this perspective in this actually generation?
That's the thing. We don't see the importance of religion anymore.
Yeah.
Like the materialistic life that we're living in, the man that we're living in, we're not seeing. And it's also noteworthy that we are living at a time where there is no or the lack of that true infestation or manifestation or illustration of religion in someone, like for the people who lived during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, they saw religion. They could see religion manifested in who? In the Prophet himself. During our times, we see the people who are, you know, living themselves enough time where there is no imam, and the best that they have are scholars who, for example, who they themselves admit that we are not like the Prophet, and we're not infested. We're not, you know, like the Prophet as role models.
Yeah,
they're our best chance, you know. And I think that that farness from our religion is really also kind of hurting us. And
yeah, thank you, Sheikh.
It's a two-way thing, you know. Like as scholars, it's our obligation, and as for the community, it's their also obligation to look.
Thank you, brother.
Unlike respected Sheikh, I want to say something else. Sheikh believes that, yes, tendency towards religion has gotten weak and actually faded away. I want to say, to say vice versa, to say that those who dedicate themselves to religion and religious teachings are not few in number. I mean, if we want to compare it to the time of the Prophet, I can say it is even to some extent even more than that. Yes,
yeah.
There were some who were in front of the prophets, not only the Prophet of Islam, even other prophets who stood in front of the prophets. But here we see even those who believe in religion, though we see some cases of being indifferent towards religion, as you mentioned some, and you refer to some cases and evidences, but in comparison to other religions and even the followers of the Holy Prophet, I can say it even today is even more. Let's have a positive look on this issue. I can give you an example to make it more tangible. When the Holy Prophet was reciting the khutbas or sermons of Jum'ah, people were scattering, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them at the time of Salat of Jum'ah, come and gather in this center and follow the Holy Prophet and his sermon. And the Surah Al-Jum'ah actually was revealed. What we see in this time when people, for example, like a case that happened in Salat Al-Jum'ah in Tehran, when the leader of the Salat was in blood, while his hand was torn up and by a bomb that was, we see that people were collecting from different parts towards the center, even those who have not been in the congregational prayer at that time. So this is a sample that we see that even those who have been with the Holy Prophet, when the Holy Prophet ordered some to join, for example, the join the army of Osama, but we see some even close companions of the Prophet did not attend that army. But here at this time, that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said that even the people at this time are more loyal to the people of the time of the Prophet, to Islam.
Yeah.
We see that people, when they are asked, for example, by the leader of the Islamic Ummah just to join this army, we see plenty of people were joining. And even some, without being even asked to go from other countries, came and joined, for example. We see that this sense of religiosity has not dead yet. I mean, it is alive in the people. And it is even stronger. But in comparison with the population that was at that time, till the population that, or the population that we see today, definitely there must be a difference. But all in all, the quality and even the number, I think, is not that low.
Yeah.
But let's be back to our discussion and pluralism.
I think we're living in a really difficult era because, as you mentioned, I think the tendency for having a religious, for having something to actually have your hand on is stronger than before, okay? But because of the lack of a present role model for us, which we believe that he's just, we believe that he's innocent, and because of that, I think the difficulties arise, and because of that, because we cannot rely on someone, and there is no true person, no infallible here among us to put all our trust in that, we try to avoid it. You know, and this is a kind of matter of avoidance, not the matter of the lowering of tendency. So the thing that we're going to talk more about is this relation between this way of thinking of pluralism and Mahdaviyat ideology. What do you think about it?
Look, pluralist thinking system actually has some internal conflict and paradox inside it. From one side, it says anyone who believes in any religion is leading to salvation. So how is it possible that, for example, I believe in Islam, that in that I believe in monotheism, in oneness and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other one who believes in another religion who believes in Trinity? So have any conflict here? Don't we see any paradox here?
Yeah.
So definitely there is a paradox inside it. And it's it has a sort of self-hatred. I mean, this concept of pluralism has a sort of self-hatred in that. That is, some elements of it are actually are denying the other elements. For example, if you believe in Buddhism and it preaches you to, for example, salvation, but you see there are many elements in Buddhism that actually contradicts with, for example, Christianity or Judaism or Judaism. You see, so this idea, it means, since, as brother mentioned, that it is due to paying too much attention to, you know, to man as the center of the universe, rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the creator being the center of the universe. I mean, man-centrism causes this to say such a thing. I mean, without any study or without having any attention towards the necessity of religion as something that, a program that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your creator has put forward for you as his creature. So this is a program, or let's say manual, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I just make it a good term to make it closer to understanding, so saying manual to this is not that much beautiful. So you neglect the role of God and you actually put all the attention to human and man as a center of universe. That's the result, that you think that, okay, different religions, you say something that you are not aware of the consequences of that, that they contradict each other. So even from a Quranic perspective, this pluralism is in vain. I mean, is of no use, because again, the same verse that you mentioned is in Al-Quran, that is, there is only one way of salvation, and that is Al-Islam, submission. submission in the course of history. It happened in by different religions, but at this time it is by Islam.
Right.
With respect to other religion, other prophets, past prophets.
Thank you, brother.
So again, at the time of Mahdawi, at the time that you, I think, referred to some question that how is it going to work with the Mahdawi utopia or Mahdawi government or Mahdavism or Mahdawiya. Look, Imam Mahdi al-Islam is going to implement Quranic rulings and Islamic rulings the same way that we said Islam is against pluralism and Islam is against, and Quran is against pluralism. So Imam is going to introduce this high and noble example, which is Al-Quran and Al-Islam. Definitely it should be again in contradiction with Mahdawi as well.
Thank you, Brother Ali. And Sheikh, I have a question here as our last question of the of this episode, which is, okay, we're telling this fact that the only religion that is the only way to salvation is Islam, nothing more, nothing less, and no other religion. So what will happen to all these population in the history that had belief in other religions other than Islam? What will happen to them eventually?
The best way to look at it is actually to look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi dealt with the concept himself in Medina, and that also with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam when he was ruling. And we stated that, I think, at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the last show, I forgot. But Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the Muslims used to coexist with other Abrahamic religions. So they coexist, but for example, the concept of jizya, right? The giving of jizya is a specific tax that the non-Muslims used to give to the Muslim government. Why? Because Muslims were obligated, you could put it philosophically in this way, Muslims were obligated to pay some sort of tax to give back to the government so the government could, you know, expand and whatnot, and the poor would be able to live and so on, for the various uses of what we call in fiqh nowadays, baytul mal. And because they were non-obligated, for example, with zakat, they would have to pay a different kind of taxing, and that would be considered jizya. And there's also various ways. One of the concepts of khums, the land that the non-believer owns, there has to be a 20% giving. It's also a manner of, you know, them getting safety inside Islamic countries or Islamic governments. So at the end of the day, you know, we can coexist with other Abrahamic religions. And at the end of the day, like, people who were non-Muslims or didn't receive the message of Islam, they were doing correctly during the time. They were following, you know, they were submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran himself, you know, differs between the let's call them Christians who were following the true faith and the Christians who were not following the true faith. They were following the, you know, the fabricated Christian religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to state that the submission towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now considered to be one of the manifestations of the submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there cannot be no true religion without the following of the Prophet and his teachings.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh. And Brother Ali, anything to add as the last part?
Thank you very much. Nothing more. The Sheikh actually said everything.
Thank you. Thank you both for being with me in this episode 2. And just don't forget that there is one religion here for you, which is Islam. And Islam means submission to Allah Almighty. And that's all. You know, I think we're living in a world that we tend to make everything difficult to understand, make everything philosophical and different. But it's just a bit simple if you think about it. Thank you for listening to me. I wish you enjoy the episode of today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please. الحسيني أكسد الحبيب أمتي أمتي يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها